There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
I gotta say, they keep messing with Kay Ivey. She's gonna turn into a full-blown Democrat.
Yeah, say what? Once again, what happened?
I gotta say, they keep messing with Kay Ivey. She's gonna turn into a full-blown Democrat.
All right, a little something from the V over the weekend. We'll get into next 2 hours of live local talk. Glad you're here. Phone number, text line 343-0106. Hey y'all, I'm Sean. Glad to have my buddy Jeff Poor in studio today. Hey man.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Well, what's going on is...
I gotta say, they keep messing with Kay Ivey. She's gonna turn into a full-blown Democrat.
Full-blown Democrat.
She was once a full-blown Democrat, wasn't she?
Yeah, weren't there? Let's think. One, two, three. Okay, elected, let's see, our Washington delegation. Okay, mm-hmm. Let's go through the Washington delegation. One, two, Senate-wise, both of our senators have or are Democrats, have been or are Democrats, right?
Right. Shelby switched in 95.
Okay, 95. Obviously, Doug Jones, Democrat. So, both of our senators have been or are a Democrat.
Right.
Okay, that's number one. All right, let's see. AL1's Congressman Bradley Byrne.
Once a Democrat.
Once a Democrat. All right, let's go around the rest of the state. You have a better idea. Martha Roby, I don't know.
Was Martha Roby never a Democrat. She hasn't been in long enough. She came in after the switch.
Right, so that one's not. Terry Sewell, of course, Democrat.
Democrat.
Let's see. Mo Brooks, I don't know.
Never a Democrat. Never a Democrat. Always was Republican. Served in the ran as like one of the few Republicans, one of the first Republicans to win in Madison County as county commissioner.
Okay, so there you go. So there you got two of the seven, at least on the Congress side.
I think Adderholt was once a Democrat.
Okay, Adderholt, Democrat. Let's go down the list here.
Palmer, not ever a Democrat.
Okay.
I don't know about Mike Rogers.
Okay, so, but we could say it's not so crazy a thing to say once a Democrat, right?
Yes.
And maybe going back. So when they talk about having full-blown Democrats.
I got to say, they keep messing with Kay Ivey. She's going to turn into a full-blown Democrat.
That's Josh Moon talking there. But maybe she's just it's coming around full circle.
Well, here's the thing. Like you get into like one-party rule, and you're going to have all varieties of Republicans.
Sure, sure.
You don't want, it used to be, it'd be like if McDonald's bought Burger King, I guess. And maybe you go to some McDonald's, but you can buy a Whopper.
Right.
It's kind of like that. You don't have the distinction, but you do have all the varieties. You have a true big tit party in a one-party state like Alabama.
Yeah, it's a couple things. I think the natural state of politics is to fight somebody. And so if you're in a one-party rules state, yes, you'll have the intra-fighting if there's not inter-fighting. And in this case, who knows? You got the governor, at least on The View, which is a show from Bill Britt and Susan Britt and the crew with
The V,
the voice
the
of Alabama.
The View.
The View. I called it The View.
Much different.
I'm getting old, man. So The V, the voice of Alabama politics show from the folks at the Alabama Political Reporter. So there's that show, and they're talking about the governor. And I would say this kind of ties in because a story that you have over at yellowhammernews.com right now that I put up earlier today on my Twitter feed, y'all go check it out. Jeff is reporting on what happened on Capitol Journal on Friday night as Senator Vivian Davis Figures was on talking about taking the seat that was once occupied on the ATRIP 2 committee by State Senator Chris Elliott. And Senator Figures, senior senator from our area, Democrat.
Right.
Never been a Republican, always been a Democrat. Right?
You mean the other way around?
Never been a Republican. She's never been a Republican.
Right.
She's always been a Democrat.
Okay. Was the widow of a once famous Democrat.
Yes.
Michael Figures and
so never Mobile been a Republican. Politics. Always been a Democrat.
Right.
Right. I'm laying this out. We're going to get there in a second. Who has been appointed by the Republican governor? Right. The Republican governor who
I gotta say they keep messing with Kay Ivey. She's going to turn into a full blown Democrat.
So the Republican governor Kay Ivey appoints the Democrat Senator Figures to the ATRIP 2 committee, replacing the Republican.
Right.
Okay. I just want to kind of follow that through.
She kind of ran out of options, though.
Okay. Well, ran out of options because the amount of pushback from Republicans down here against
right.
the toll. Well, to go back to your story over at Yellowhammer News and right. to listen to what Senator Figures had to say, what she said about the toll in Alabama, I don't think was very different from the message that came out of Republicans.
But what? Well, so, and I'll tell you a little inside baseball here.
Okay.
That when you talk to people that were close to Al Dodd or close to the governor, they will tell you that they thought they had Elliott locked in.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he parted ways, and it was, he'll tell you it was when they said they were going to toll the Wallace Tunnel.
That's right. Back in January, there's a lot of people that changed then.
Right. But they still will tell you, and we're getting kind of two stories here, that he was still kind of playing ball with them
mm-hmm.
and talking to them like he could still support this. So they got it turned around, and that's I think there's a lot of people upset at Senator Elliott in the governor's office for saying one thing early on and not really sticking with it.
Okay, but so somebody who it's about the saying yes and then no, because if it's about no, then from the Capital Journal, this happened.
To get their opinions and to help them come up with some of the resolutions to the problems that we're having with the bridge. But let me also say, I don't think it should be the responsibility of the citizens of Mobile and Baldwin counties to pay for that I-10 bridge.
Sure sounds a lot like no tolls to me, right?
Yes.
And she replaced the person that also said no tolls.
But it's a less of a player in the whole no-toll saga.
So it's just the level, how effective you are with no-tolls.
Is it effective or is it, hey, we don't want you talking about this anymore. We don't like what you told about our off-the-record meeting.
Well, we're going to get to that when we come back, this off-the-record meeting part of it. If you haven't noticed, it's my buddy Jeff Poore, special guest in studio this hour right here at FM Talk 106.5.
Blown Democrat. <That's right. laughs>
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
All right, 12:18, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile on this Monday. Before we get back into some state political and some national talk with my buddy Jeff Poore of the Jeff Poore Show, and of course you read his work at Lanyap, Breitbart, Yellowhammer News, I'd like to point out that we're in about a 94-way tie for 20th place in the college pick'em.
Well, it's just straight up pick'em. Well, it's just straight up pick'em. You find a tighter.
Yes, because
you almost got to be perfect.
Yeah, because the confidence point things, it was beyond my. I'm not good enough for the confidence points like we had last year. I like it better this year.
It's a lot more work with the confidence point.
Right, I can just kind of Friday just go. Yeah, I think these games. So there's a whole bunch of us at 20th place in this in a time, but you and I are some of those people that are tied at 20th. Just saying.
And some of the games aren't like that hard to pick.
Correct, but you got to get this all done. So then when it gets hard. You're close to strike.
I mean, picking LSU to beat Northwestern State, not a hard pick.
They're a good ball club.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So that's, and by the way, the other, I think there's some hundreds of y'all, 180, Dalton O'Craig, 170, something like that in this year. There are people beating us.
Did you know your last year's confidence pick league is still up and operational?
We do. It was a thing that happened that some people, my wife is in that league. That's not even the league, the main league.
What if you win that league?
Dalton, what if we win that league? We have any prizes? I don't know. We have prizes for the winning this league.
But we should have prizes for winning the alternate league.
All right, we'll come up. We will come up with something. We just got to figure. There's something back in a desk drawer, back in my room.
No toll sign.
There are some no toll signs. Yeah, stickers. You took a picture. You took a picture of the studio in here. You can see that on Twitter. You can see that no toll sign. I don't know, collector's item, or is going to come back around as being a useful tool.
A slightly used Sean Sullivan coffee mug.
Yeah, there's all kind of stuff in here, man. Also, I want to look at this and ask y'all at 343-0106 on the text line or on the phone line. Have you seen gas prices increasing today? I'm still seeing the update here from mobilegasprices.com. Still shows $2.07 a gallon and being the best price, a lot of $2.09 a gallon. I paid $2.35 a gallon earlier today. Gas prices, you know, obviously are going to be moving up with the instability, you know, between what's going to happen. I mean, Saudi Arabia has cut production in half. Okay, that one facility was hit by the drones at full capacity is 5% of the planet's oil production. That's huge. Facility is 5%.
Do you always buy the regular unleaded, mm-hmm. or you buy the premium? Mm-hmm.
No. Regular, occasionally I'll put the booster stuff in there.
I get to mid grade.
Yeah, but you drive sports kind of cars, and yeah, I drive trucks. So, but I do put the octane booster in there every once in a while. But yeah, so it's $2.35 a gallon is what I.
That's
what
about
I paid.
What it was before they switched from the summer blend to this winter blend.
You've got this thing going. So the amount of butane they're allowed to put in the gasoline that changes with the blend, which is always amusing to me because that's based on emissions by relative mean temperature out there. And they do it, though, not by... They do the whole country a certain time of year. Let me tell you, the weather in Maine and the weather in Texas are a different thing.
Also, the weather in September is going to be hotter, I think, than the weather in June.
Yes. You know? So, I mean, the whole thing is kind of... It needs to be shifted. It needs to be by region.
You notice that the gas tax kicks in right as they switch those blends.
But that's what happened. So the gas tax went online September 1st. They switched the blends, and now we have... a situation that my supply, reduction in supply, is going to naturally, through market forces, cause the price to go up. Now, understand, I've talked about this a bunch of times, the gas price is fixed at a certain cent amount. It's not a percentage of what you're paying. But it's, you know, it's going to... Hey, as a percentage, it's less these days. That's a great story. If politicians selling the gas tax, say the percentage of what you're paying in gas tax is, you know, of your total bill has gone down. All right. If you fill up today, if you see someplace, maybe you stop Friday, if you notice prices going up around town, give us a report on that, because that's kind of what, I mean, they are talking about possibly $100 a barrel crude. This goes back to Obama days.
Do we think that's...
We got to 120. Did we get to 140 at one point?
Do we think that's going to happen?
I do.
Really?
I do.
You're the doom and gloomer.
I'm not doing a doom and gloom. I just have watched energy markets before.
If they have anything
to hide behind, as in a situation
a
like that.
A reason, an excuse to run.
Wouldn't you? Wouldn't you if you're in the energy business?
But the way the market works
Wouldn't you if you're in the energy business?
Yes,
I'd raise it.
Yes, but the way the market works is there's always somebody that's going to be willing to get that price back down to where it equals. This is the way the market works. There's too many market forces. Maybe there's a scare initially, but if you run that scare with that ball too long, then all of a sudden you're going to see the gas prices perhaps drop even lower than what the true value is.
I don't think, because the demand stays steady. The demand doesn't change until
demand
you hit certain. You have to hit a certain point before demand changed. I think it was, we found that to be plus $3 a gallon during the Obama years.
But I'm not saying that. I'm saying the behaviors of people change as the year changes.
Sure.
And maybe, but to me, getting $100 plus a barrel of oil on this market, then you'll have other things start to happen. You'll have they'll go into the tar sands again. They'll mm-hmm. do all of these things. It'll get that price
sure.
maybe not as low as it is now.
But it takes time for that to ramp up.
But it eventually...
Sure it does.
And people buy futures. They'll hedge. There's all these other... I am skeptical. I do think that it'll spike off of this incident in Saudi Arabia, but I am not sure it's going to quite hit those triple digits.
We'll see what and you may be right. We'll see what happens in the weeks to come there. All right. The running thing on the text line or whatever throughout the next couple hours at 343-0106. If you see some place where you've seen a significant change in what they're charging, this says Walmart still $2.08 a gallon. So there we go.
The price of crude right now, what, $69 a barrel?
Nice.
and it's up 14%. That's significant. That's $8.
Yeah.
Or almost $9 a barrel. But if it was really heading upwards of triple digits, wouldn't it be... Wouldn't you expect more than a 14-15%? Wouldn't you expect maybe 20-25%?
I don't know. The ramp up that took it to $100 plus a barrel during the Obama years took a while. It did take a while.
A lot of that was policy too.
Sure.
It wasn't just one single incident.
Right. But if you look at Saudi Arabia, if they stay, which they won't, but if they stayed at 50% production, I mean, you can hide behind that all day and raise futures. And if you think it's going to get worse, you're going to bid higher.
Well, I think you really, really got to watch what happens is if the two actors, if Iran and Saudi Arabia do get an armed conflict, then we're talking $120, $140.
Yeah.
It's not in their best interest right now to do that.
No, I don't. But I think individual players out there,
they know. Well, yeah, but those individual players only move the market so much. They know that at some point, if they get in that realm, that there's other things that are going to happen that are going to hurt the demand for oil long term.
And we'll see how much oil is released. You know, there's always a discussion of the strategic oil supply and the president releasing some amount. Even the White House said, well, it's an amount. How much? Enough. They don't
it's not
give
doing
people,
much for the. It's not doing much for the prices.
No, because they don't give real numbers. They would have to say, "We're going to release this many million barrels," right, to make it move. All right, to the phones at 343-0106 and David in Mobile first up. Hey, David. David in Mobile, going once. Oh, here we go. There it is. David in Mobile. Now we press the right button. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry about that. Can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, quick question. Is there any legislative requirement that there has to be somebody from South Alabama on that A-Trip 2 committee?
No.
So could this be Governor Meemaw saying, I don't blame you, Mobile. I blame you, Baldwin County, for screwing me over. So get ready and assume the position because here I come.
Wait. Do you think this is not even... It's not going to be directed at Southwest Alabama. It's specifically Baldwin County.
I mean, that's what I take, because why else would she put a Democrat from South Alabama when she's not even required to put anybody from South Alabama on this committee?
David, what I'll tell you is those folks up there don't think in terms of Mobile and Baldwin County. They think it's all the same. They think Mobile is the big giant beach and we're all singing to Margaritaville down here. They don't think they don't recognize that the Southwest Alabama part of Alabama is very distinct. You know, you could go to Orange Beach and go to Theodore. To people, I would say maybe about two-thirds of the state, it's all the same to them.
Twos and fives, plates are the same.
Right. They're just the same people, whatever. They're all at the beach, and they're all like drinking umbrellish drinks and stuff.
Sounds good.
I understand that, but we also know that Joe Bonner does know that distinction, and he's pretty much running the show. I mean, obviously the governor has final say over the decisions, but he's running the show, and you don't think this is a subtle message from Joe Bonner saying, you know, pointing out that difference between what the Mobile MPO did and the Eastern Shore MPO did?
Possibly, but I still think this was aimed at Chris Elliott. Senator Elliott was very outspoken during this process. And Senator Elliott, he is really the only one in the legislative delegation down here that went all over the state on the radio, going on in Mobile, going on in Huntsville, going on in Birmingham, and I think that's pretty much running the gambit there. But I think this was sending him a message, hey, if you want to disagree, that's fine, but you better keep it to yourself. That, I think, was more the message that they were trying to send, Senator Elliott.
Well, I mean, maybe so. Well, I guess the only time will tell who ends up going to be right and who's going to not be right. So.
Now, I tell you who's going to get wrong, just us in Southwest Alabama. Even with having a representative on the A-Trip 2 committee, you got to remember the governor is the Friday after the Eastern Shore MPO vote, didn't she tour a facility, what they were doing, road work out in Birmingham?
Yeah. And that was a $700 million project right there through the downtown Birmingham.
Am I reading too much into it? That was a, hey, y'all, look at this.
I don't know, like, what. So let me say this. I think you're giving them too much credit.
Okay.
I think the governor's office isn't that strategic in their strategy, in their thinking. They will hear what's said on radio. It'll get back to them, but they're not like, well, we're going to show that we're going to go do a tour of Birmingham. I think they're playing by an old playbook. And maybe that is possibly it could be to send a message to Mobile, but the way these things are lined up and these travel plans are done, they're done way ahead of time. And to me, that it just seemed a little, it would have been too convenient.
Okay. All right. So I'm projecting.
Would you have done it that way?
Yes.
No, I
but I mean, I'm not the governor, right? So. Right, 12:30 FM Talk 106.5. Coming right back, grab more calls and texts. Hey, and also coming up at 1 o'clock, Jason Johnson from Landyap joins us. What did you remember all the stuff we were talking about last week with the towing companies and the city of Mobile? He has a article over at Landyap breaking this down, and we'll talk with him about that coming up at 1.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
By the way, just an update, as Jeff is my witness, I called Fairhope PD before we went on the air today and tried to find out if anybody had been ticketed yet for feeding geese at Fairhope Public Pier. No word yet back. We're waiting for comment from Fairhope PD. I'd like to know who the first person who will get busted. And how they do they set that up as a sting? Do they have to see you feeding the geese, which means some of Fairhope's finest will have to be sitting there scanning, right? To get the binoculars out, be watching. And there he is. He has the bunny bread. He's approaching the geese. He's found one goose in particular. It's done. Let's go, go, go. He's offered a piece of bread to the goose. Go, go, go.
It's not like that. There's definitely some night vision goggles involved. There's definitely a SWAT van. They're definitely in camo and hiding in the bushes.
Right.
And they're definitely wearing like... The headsets. Like,
oh, yeah, they're talking to each other.
Oh, yeah. It's
not move until he offers the bread to the goose. We cannot make a case until he offers the bread to the goose.
It's much more complicated than you are than you are letting on here. This is a very sophisticated sting operation. And the very capable police force in Fairhope is, they're going to bring the best. I mean, this isn't going to be some kind of rinky-dink Spanish Ford operation. This is going to be Fairhope.
This is Fairhope Police Department.
This isn't the pretend
Eastern Shore. Yeah, this is Fairhope.
This is the Fairhope Police Department, and they're not going to mess around here. They're going to do it the right way.
Yeah, so you think there is going to be that moment where nobody move until they actually offer the bread to the goose.
Right.
We can't make a case unless we have them actually offering the bread to the goose. The goose accepts the bread. Then you move
then
in.
Then you go in.
That's when you move in hard and fast.
Well, you can... I do think you want... You can get attempted geese feeding, but you want to go for that big charge where you actually get the geese feeding.
That's right.
The attempted only carries like a $50 fine or something.
Right, no real jail time.
You really want to go for the crime and get that prosecution. So you're not going to dilly-dally around with waiting to see if the geese... You're going to wait to see if that goose accepts the bread.
Do you think they got to be there at the station and be like, you want to go ahead and tell us what happened? If you don't, let me go ahead and roll this video. It sure looks like you.
Oh, they put him in the room, and it's like they turn the heat on, and it's like...
Sure looks like you offering... It looks like a slice of bunny bread to me. You're offering that goose.
I mean, you really have a... you really get the full force and the full assets of the Fairhope Police Department when you mess around with those geese, Sean.
some good text coming in. We'll talk about these. Also... We're mentioning in the anger from Governor Ivey that directed at State Senator Chris Elliott, having him removed from the ATRIP 2 committee. Part of this, too, is word out that people broke confidence, right? We're listening to the V, the
voice of Alabama politics.
That's right. The V, this is where that quote that you heard in the beginning of the show, where this quote comes from. This is at a couple minutes into their discussion.
I got to say, they keep messing with Kay Ivey. She's going to turn into a full-blown Democrat.
Okay, so in that conversation, one of the panelists said something about being governor's office upset about Chris Elliott spilling the beans of what was said in this private meeting at the BCA event over in Point Clear, which is not too far from where goose feeding is going on right now, probably. And that was, well, if you remember, you had Chris Elliott on your show. He's talked about that. He talked about it here. Representative Shane Stringer talked at length on the show about this. I know others from the delegation that were there. It was not...
Was it a secret?
I didn't feel like it was secret. These folks didn't come in. Nobody came in and said, Sean, you can't say anything about this. They came on the radio with us and talked about it.
Right. And you know,
they said they were, what, they mentioned the governor was reading off a list.
Reading off a list. It didn't look like she was, that she was sort of operating at the behest of someone else. So we could speculate about the someone else is. I think everybody knows who I'm talking about. But that was the insinuation when she said that. And I think it once it was interpreted that way, the governor's office got a hold of it, and they went after to make an example out of Senator Elliott.
But there were more people than Senator Elliott that talked about what went on in that meeting.
Well, only
they just weren't on the A-Trip 2 committee, I guess.
Oh, that and only one of them made it onto the pages of Yellowhammer.
You think you did him in?
So I don't know. I'm not going to take credit for it, but I don't. You know, I think we need to draw attention to those things. And here's the other thing: hearing Representative Stringer say it. I mean, the cat was already kind of out of the bag, you know, about that meeting down at Point Clear at the BCA conference.
Okay. I want to hear from you on that. Also, by the way, that's still our online opinion poll question. Do you think we're going to be receiving continued retribution here from standing against the toll in Southwest Alabama? Do you think there are more things to come?
You know, we'll wait. Here's where I think you need to do the distinction between retribution against the people here and maybe some of the political players.
But the political players are our representatives.
Elected representatives, fair enough, yes. Yeah. But that's why they would take a shot with Vivian Figures on A-Trip 2 instead of Senator Elliott. So they're picking their battles against the members that didn't get in line with them. And this is true, the same playbook we saw with the gas tax vote.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nobody north of Prattville voted against the gas tax.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Wow.
So, but you talk to the members that did vote against it, it's still hardball. They're still feeling the pains of voting against it. You know, maybe it's funding for your state park. Maybe it's funding for something else. Whatever your little pet project all around the state. If you voted no on the gas tax, you got a visit from the general fund chairman, be it the Senate would have been Greg Albritton, mm-hmm. the House it's Steve Klaus from Ozark. We're taking this away from you. We're giving it to the person that supported the gas tax.
And y'all, that's how Montgomery is done. By the way, too, I can't answer all these questions. Some good ones, some solid ones. Is it the bread that's illegal versus feeding the geese? I think it's feeding because they suggested you could feed the geese French fries or something other than bread. I think it's all feeding of the geese is illegal. And yes, you have to, I think for it to be, somebody said, can you get caught for just having the bread? If you're right, I don't know.
Like
I have to ask.
Without a license, kind of.
Or is it just having like paraphernalia? You know, they'll bust people. They don't have the drugs, but they have the drug paraphernalia.
If you're riding, if you're riding through
Fairhope
with a bag of goose food,
yes,
that is specifically made for geese to eat.
Well, what did she say?
Didn't you messing around? You're tipped in faith.
Well,
there.
I think geese are about like a dog. Everything could be goose food. Like the dogs, whatever you're eating.
But they have feed for geese.
They do. But what if you have, like, they like the bread? What if you're riding through? Let's get very specific here. And I know a lot of attorneys listen to the show here. If you were riding through the parking lot there at Fairhope Public Pier and you had a loaf or two of some bread sitting there in the passenger seat, okay, you have it, and you get pulled over, is that goose feeding paraphernalia? Is it? You know, I mean, they haven't caught you. You're kind of cruising through, seeing if there's a goose you want to feed or not.
They're watching.
They're watching. But if you get busted for something else, you get pulled over. Like if something else is a primary, and for the secondary, they go, Mr. Sullivan, talk to me about these loaves of bread right here. What might you be? So at that point, I call for my attorney. I mean,
you probably would be wise because this is very serious. We're laughing about this, but do you know how much damage geese can do?
I do.
I mean, you are a man of the outdoors. And
yes,
you're sitting here, and we're making a mockery of the poor people in Fairhope, Alabama, about their geese problem.
I know how to get rid of the geese. We can get rid of real fast, but that's not as popular as busting people it just, you know, that are riding around. I mean, there's going to be the full case they can make is when somebody actually, they got the video, the people, like Jeff said, are in the camo, in the trees, with binoculars and the video cameras, filming the actual deal going down, where the bread is offered and the bread is taken by the goose.
You want to get that interaction.
That's what's going to throw you in the pokey. But what if you just happen to have some bread in your truck and you're riding through the Fairhope Pier parking lot?
If you're a known offender of the said goose ordinance, you might be better served not to be riding around with a loaf of bread in your truck or your automobile. You might be wise to go seek geese elsewhere. But if you have no record of geese feeding and you're riding around Fairhope over there by the pier, then maybe you get a little bit of leniency.
A lot of people say with the intent to distribute. That possession with intent to distribute, that's what you would get for riding with the bread. Somebody suggested the new riding dirty is actually riding with bread. This texter says only stale bread. Fresh bread is considered goose food. Okay. Samantha says, will the goose or seagull be arrested for stealing food from my picnic? Good question. What if you're not a willing participant in this deal going down? The goose comes up and gets bread from you.
Tell it to the judge.
Are there weight penalties involved? You know, Donald, I don't know. I've not seen if they have given us the amount, how much in bread you got to be carrying before you get in trouble with Fairhope PD.
What do you think Fairhope lockup is like?
It's got to be nice. It's got to be, I imagine it's got, I just wonder, you know, it's probably a wharf there.
What are you in for? And, you know, you got the guy that's in for, like,
burglary or something?
No. It's probably, like, parallel parking after 5 p.m. And then you got the guy in there that's for feeding the geese. Then you got the guy in there that didn't pick up after his dog. Now, he's got some serious time on his hands. You got the guy that brought in the counterfeit antiques from from China, trying to sell them. That's a serious crime down there too.
We'll go to the phones and we'll come back to these texts because Tim in Mobile's been holding on. Hey Tim.
Hey, good afternoon.
Afternoon, man.
Hey, I was walking on that pier and I noticed there was a fella following me. He had dark shades and a dark coat on, you know, sports coat thing. And he followed me around and I went into the restroom, you know, and he come in there too. And I was washing my hands and then he looked at my feet and he saw some poop on my shoe and started asking me questions if I'd been over there by the geese. And I told him no, you know. I said, I think I've just been walking on the pier, you know. And he said, you know, he wanted to ask me several questions about it. So I wiped it off, and finally, you know, I was like, hey, man, you know, I'm innocent. You know, I didn't do anything. You got to watch them. They're watching us, like you said. So be careful.
Let me tell you this,
people walking on the pier.
So you did not get, did he give you a warning this time? You didn't get the ticket?
I think because when I washed my hands and I wiped it real quick off my shoes, I think he didn't have any evidence, you know, I threw it down the toilet.
If he had told you you had a wide stance, or that he had the wide stance
in the bathroom, I might have run hollering out of the room.
He might be impersonating a police officer, so be on the lookout for that.
There's all kinds of stuff going on.
Watch out for their undercover. Be careful. Hey, but look, on the other point of this, when my kids were young, and I'm talking babies, I mean, that was one of the most fun things to do with the kids was to take them down to that park and walk on that little pier, take our pictures. I think there's probably, every house has probably got a picture of that little white pier with some ducks and your kids feeding the ducks.
And I'm with you. I don't
understand why they would take that away from
Tim, I see both sides. I mean, they've got a real problem over there with the geese and it's out of control. And where you have food, you're going to have them all pile up. But it's I'm on their side, but it's too, I can't help myself but to enjoy it a little bit.
Do they have signs posted? Don't feed the geese.
Yes. Yes.
Also, don't feed the fish. You know, if you ball up the little bread and drop it into the little pond there, there's little fish in there. I mean, they haven't said anything about that. We used to feed the little minnows and the little brim, whatever, swimming in that fresh water.
So if you're in there feeding, what if you're feeding the brim in there and the turtles and a goose comes in there and gets it? You did not have the intent to feed the goose.
And I had one geese one time run my little boy down to eat his little McDonald's sandwich and ate the bread. So that could have been, he could have been guilty.
You just need to have a better handle on your children.
No, believe me, the geese were.
Yeah, I told him to throw it. I said, throw the sandwich away. And that, you know, so he wouldn't run after him. And when he did, that he broke the law.
But yeah, you encourage.
Would be now.
Run for that Daphne line.
You're an accessory, Tim. Thank you, man. Appreciate the call. Coming right back.
is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:52, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. On this Monday, glad to have you here. Good to have my friend Jeff Poore in the studio. And y'all have some solid points here on the text line and questions, too, when it comes to what's going on today, day one of the Don't Feed the Geese ordinance in Fairhope. You know, Anderson asked about the use of a goose blind. I don't know. I don't know if we use one of those layout goose blinds, if that's... also, this texter suggests that confidential informants are in the park. He said, I've been busted previously for bread distribution. Let's see here. A buddy of mine texted in, too. He said, as always, follow the money, right? Follow the money. He says, looks like Big Foie Gras is likely behind this. So,
Big Foie Gras.
Because, you know, they feed them all that bread. This is a solid. It's an open container if the twist tie is off the loaf of bread.
Oh.
So, if you're riding through Fairhope, even the parking lot there, and you have the twist tie off the bread, that's an open container. You could be in trouble. Jay says, if you weren't a willing participant but were in possession, you're likely guilty of constructive possession. although Chris and Daphne suggest that less than three slices, misdemeanor. So if you're trying to walk, if you go in there less than like two slices, it's just a misdemeanor over that. You're looking at felony distribution.
At least you're looking at a little more time there, right?
I think so. You're going to have to, but you're looking at a felony there.
Do we have any mandatory minimums?
Just three strikes and you're out.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're talking big about prison reform and
right.
Things of that nature.
Imagine you walk in there. Imagine you walk in at Atmore or some soon-to-be-built prison elsewhere in the state of Alabama. What are you doing hard time for? I fed the geese. Habitual. Not just once, though, man. I did it three times.
Habitual goose offender. Yes, yes.
So there you go. That's what's going on. I have yet to hear back, but I just lobbied that question to Fairhope just to see if anybody had been ticketed yet on it. They did not say. Okay, a couple things here. I've asked this question of you before. I want to see if there's any change. This is all the taking of scalps right now over the no vote on the Eastern Shore MPO and people opposing tolls down here. Does this show up in any form in session this year?
Yes.
It does.
Absolutely. You're not going to have the cooperation. And this was, at times, was a very, you know, I would say, not hostile, but it wasn't smooth. But this last session, I mean, they got a lot done.
They got a whole bunch done the first.
And the Senate passed everything.
Uh-huh.
Under Del Marsh's leadership, they passed everything in the Alabama Senate. Not so much. The House is where things went to slow down. Traditionally, it's reversed. But mm-hmm. talking to these members and the way they were strong-armed, and, you know, these are elected men. Talk to like they're high school kids in mm-hmm. some ways, threatened, and they're not going to play ball with this governor. And she can only do so much of that. And then it's just going to – it's a bad look for her. It's not so much – let's say that this happened to these guys and they were no votes and they were outspoken about it or whatever. But they get bullied around, pushed around. Keep in mind, these bodies, the Alabama Senate and the Alabama House, they do function as clubs in a way. And they don't like seeing their colleagues being pushed around by an outside entity. If it happens within the leadership of the body, that's just how – the body functions.
But they see the executive branch as being the outside entity.
Right. When you saw Representative Matt Simpson being kind of pushed around, mm-hmm. well, you know, by Director Cooper, John Cooper Aldott, you know, you may not have agreed with Simpson or any of that, but you don't think that's the way the executive branch needs to be talking to a member, a duly elected member of the legislature. You need to show members of the legislature deference. They were elected by their constituents. We have mm-hmm. a representative democracy in the state, and other members see that, and they don't like that at all. They were, you know how hard it is to get elected and get elected to one of those seats. They understand knocking on doors, all the work you have to put in to get elected, to only come and go sit in an informational meeting to be talked down to by some unelected bureaucrat.
So in that, where will it manifest itself? If we're taking, if the retribution is coming, or the, this battle continues into session early next year, does it come around the prison?
It could come prisons, but the way they're going to do prisons, I think, it's like they did the gas tax.
They're going to end
state of the state.
Yeah,
governor gavels in the special session.
Special?
Yeah, it'll be a special session.
Because we were supposed to have the special in October, and then they moved that.
Remember? They moved it because, and we were told a bunch of, there's a lot of moving parts and pieces here to this prison reform. The smart people, Cam Ward of Shelby County, mm-hmm. who's a state senator there, will tell you, we're waiting to get data from the Sentencing Commission, and we want to look at it and say, see if there's something we could do with the sentencing reform. But there's people also on the county side, the Association of the Association of County Commissioners of Alabama, Sonny Brasfield, that group.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When you start tinkering with the sentencing, and let's say you're goose feeding,
just do this, yes.
Whatever that is. You would have once got sent to Atmore,
right.
to a correctional facility in the state system, but they lower the sentencing guidelines to where now you just spend time in county lockup. Well, who has to bear the
right,
burden?
So that
of
defers the cost back to the county,
and they don't want want an influx of inmates mm-hmm. from the system. So that is one big part of this. And then there's all the other parts of that, because then do the counties have to provide medical care, mental health care, feed them, things like that of that nature.
It almost, that same thing happened with mental health when the state shut down so many state-sponsored mental health facilities.
Right.
They ended up at a county level. Coming right back, Jeff Borch is going to stick around with us. Plus, Jason Johnson joins us to talk towing, not tolling, towing when we come back.